It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, January 7th, 2020, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 122 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest gaming podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I've got my comrade in gaming commentary here with me, the miggity, 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 miggity Mac, also known as Maxion. Mac, what's good, man? How you been?
I've been distracted this last week, Mr. Nice Guy, but things have been all right. For starters, we were unable to do our Dungeons and Dragons thing last Saturday. Apparently, I wasn't the only person who was down with the sickness. Pazzy, sadly, had to call it because he just couldn't speak at all. So we're shooting again for this Saturday, but just throwing that one out there. Let's see, what happened? So had an interesting weekend, went to a funeral, got to see some family members that I hadn't seen for a little while.
Sorry to hear that, man. That's never a fun thing.
I mean, you know, there are sometimes, you know, not to get too personal, but sometimes there are those funerals where you're just like, you know, this is probably the best thing for most everybody. You know what I mean?
The obligatory, like, I'm here because I have to be funeral.
Oh, no. What I meant was, like, you know, they're probably happier now.
Oh, I totally misinterpreted that. So we may need to do some editing.
No. We'll do it live, Mr. Nice
Dude,
Guy.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's
so
totally
sorry.
Cool. And interestingly,
what a great way to start the pod. I'm so sorry, y'all.
No worries.
Go ahead, Matt.
And interestingly enough, a family from Utah that I hadn't seen since I moved out here to the Midwest came to this funeral, so I got to see family that I had been missing a little bit. So family that I hadn't seen in a while, plus family that I, really missed. It was kind of, you know, the best that a funeral could be, honestly.
Understood.
So that being said, I haven't really kept up on many things that are going on, which is why I'm looking forward to you updating me on all the cool gaming news that I've missed.
Well, that's what I'll do, man. Now, I had a really good week, Mac. I did my buddy's podcast. My friend Logan has a podcast on iTunes called Be Unique, where he interviews different unique people, and he titles each episode based on the city where that person is from. So if you guys happen to check out his podcast, which you definitely should, I am in episode 9, and it's called Bellevue, Washington, which is the city that I grew up in. So he did a really great job. He interviewed me and asked me great questions, and we had a really good time. Short and sweet, 35-minute pod. So everyone check that out. It's called Be Unique on iTunes. And what else, Mac? That's pretty much it. I'm coaching basketball. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you mentioned.
So we had our first practice game for my youngest son, or my middle son, actually. The youngest one that's able to play basketball, right? Because the other one who's younger is a baby. But he scored 2 baskets, which, you know, for his age, that's really good. And I think our team probably scored like 10 or 12 points. So he scored like about a third of the points, man. So I'm proud as a coach. I'm proud as a dad. It's one of those moments, Mac, when you're on the court, you have to contain your excitement. You can't yell and scream, "That's my boy!" Because as a coach, that would not be professional. Mm-hmm. But it was fun, man. We had a good weekend, and that's pretty much the highlights. So, Mac, on that note, man, I say we do what we do best and talk about some games. What do you think about that, man?
Absolutely. And as I understand it, we've got a lot to talk about, so take it away.
Well, you know what's interesting? It's not even that we have a lot to talk about. It's that we have notable things to talk about. Because I've taken the strategy of finding the most important news stories and talking about them rather than, you know, having a bunch of stuff just for the sake of having stuff to talk about. So
quality, not quantity.
Quality over quantity. That's what we do here. Well, the first news story comes from Destructoid.com. And this is a CES story. For those of you who don't know, the Consumer Electronics Show is going on right now. Where's it at, Mac? In Vegas?
Yep, Las Vegas. Almost always held at, what, the Sands?
Yeah, because you used to go to it regularly, right?
Yep, probably from, say, 2011, 2012 to 2016. So, yeah, a five-year stretch or so.
Nice. Mac is a tech guy, so he'll give us some insight into these news stories. This one is from Destructoid.com. It says, Arcade 1-Up is showing its new range of 3/4 scale arcade cabinets at CES 2020, and one of them, an online-enabled NBA Jam machine with tournament edition and hang time, should be a crowd pleaser. It's just one of those classic lightning-in-a-bottle games that people want to hold on to forever. The NBA Jam arcade cabinet isn't available for pre-order yet, but we have a few promising details. The big one, the original team rosters are intact, minus some players Arcade 1-Up couldn't get the rights to, according to Senior Vice President of Licensing and Business Development, John Diamanon. I hope I pronounced that right. The other head turner, these cabinets have free online multiplayer support for NBA Jam, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, and NBA Hang Time. If it runs reliably, it will certainly sweeten the pot. Now, Mac, I know you're not an NBA Jam guy, but I know you're an arcade game guy, a classic guy. So they are coming out with some other ones. They have several other arcade cabinets lined up, it says. There's a new Burger Time cabinet with Karate Champ, Caveman Ninja, and Bad Dudes, a sit-down Star Wars cabinet, a Frogger cabinet with Time Pilot, and a Golden Axe cabinet with Shinobi Altered Beast, Wrestle War, and Golden Axe The Revenge of the Death Adder. So, Mac, I want to get a couple of your opinions on this cabinet. The first one I want to ask you is, what do you think about online play being added to an arcade cabinet? Will that have a long life cycle, or do you think it'll die out quickly?
I mean, that depends entirely on how many units they're able to sell.
Right, and that's what I'm asking. Do you think that it will sell well enough? You know, let's say it's $400. It's a 3/4 size arcade cabinet with four games on it. Is it selling well enough for the online play to have some longevity?
I don't think so. I mean, when you consider what you can do with, you know, your own off-the-shelf components and building a full size for relatively cheap. Mr. Nice Guy, how much did it cost for you to build your arcade machine?
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. So I'm pretty sure I paid, and I'd need to go add it up, but I think it was probably around $500,
mm-hmm.
right? And mine can play all the games, NES, SNES, all the games, Mac, the MAME, the Pac-Man, the Donkey Kong, the Mario. So, you know, I bought the cabinet, I bought the buttons, I bought the Raspberry Pi computer. That's like a $35 mini computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I bought like some artwork, and I think that was it. I bought a couple tools so I could drill buttonholes. And that was pretty much it. Oh, and I bought a monitor as well, TV monitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I mean, most people who want to do this type of thing can do it for cheap, but they can't necessarily do it with online play. So to me, that's a selling point, right? Don't you think that's kind of a cool feature?
Well, depending upon the emulator, which I'm sure that MAME has it, I wouldn't be surprised, because after all, what we are talking about is this arcade machine is just going to be an emulator. It's going to be basically no different from the machine that you, Mr. Nice Guy, that you yourself built. Just
correct.
In a slightly different package. So the fact that they can do an online multiplayer for that means that an online multiplayer, if one does not already exist for MAME, will soon exist because it
now
will be super easy to do.
The thing I think that exists with MAME or with any old game like that is that you can play, but I believe you need to connect directly to the person who you want to play with. So if my brother has a similar setup, mm-hmm. I could say, hey, let's play. And then I get his IP address or whatever info I need, and we connect. But this is different in that it will have support between people who own the cabinet.
So presumably they're going to be hosting some kind of a server.
Exactly. Well, yeah, so you can do drop-in games. I don't think they're even hosting a server. So you've probably played old Street Fighter games where, like, let's say you're in the same room as someone mm-hmm. and there's two controllers plugged in, but someone's playing by themselves. You can go press start on the second controller, and it will say a new player has entered the game. I believe that this is what's going to happen with this cabinet. I'm not sure, though. We don't know.
I believe you'll find it's here comes a new challenger.
I phrased it wrong, right? But that's pretty much what we'll see. Now, here's my other question that might be a little bit more up your alley. You used to work in an arcade, right?
I did.
Yeah. Now, if you could get a remake of any old arcade cabinet that you could purchase at 3/4 size for $300 to $400 for your home, which arcade cabinet would you want?
I would want Pump It Up Exceed. I would want my dancing arcade game again.
Now, is that a multiplayer? Because Mac, you're asking too much. I think you're asking for the sun, the moon, and the stars. It has the dance pads?
It has the dance pads, and it has two of them, so I mean...
Leave it to Mac to ask for an arcade machine that needs extra accessories to be replicated. You couldn't ask for something simple like a Pac-Man or a Donkey Kong, maybe a little gauntlet. You had to ask for a Pump It Up. No, that's cool, man. Now, Pump It Up multiplayer. Is Mac investing in that if they put something like that out? Pump It Up remake with multiplayer.
Sure. I mean, it would just depend on if I had the space for the machine, which may or may not be the big, difficult question, and if I've got the disposable income at that moment to drop, but it's certainly something that I would, if I had the space and I had the money, absolutely.
Let us know in the chat, everybody, which arcade machine you would like to see remade for you to purchase. If you're listening to this after the fact, hit us up on Twitter at Two Nerds in a Pod. Let us know which one you'd like to see. So our next news story, Mac, is from Kotaku.com. And this one is a little bit more of a controversial story. The last one was kind of a feel-good story. We're getting some retro games. This one's a little bit more serious. So this one is written by Ethan Gack. And by the way, the last one, I forgot to read the author's name, is Jordan DeVore. Want to give credit where credit is due. So this one says, Battle State Games, the studio behind the newly popular online shooter Escape from Tarkov, says they won't implement playable female protagonists for game lore reasons and because it would be too much work. Right now, you can only play Escape from Tarkov as a man. Quote, there will be no playable female characters because of game lore and, more importantly, the huge amount of work needed with animations, gear fitting, etc., the company said on Twitter yesterday. Now, Mac, here's where it gets interesting. And let me give you some background off story. This is a game that came out a few years ago, but just recently it's kind of had a resurgence on Twitch. And so we're going to get into why this is important and why people are wanting there to be female characters in the game. So the article goes on to say, the studio made the statement following the two-year-old game's rising popularity on Twitch, which brought renewed scrutiny to comments made by a Battle State Games developer back in 2016 about the war in fictional city Tarkov being too stressful for women to fight in. I laugh because I think that's so terrible that he would say that. Distancing itself from the old comments, the studio tweeted yesterday that they didn't reflect the original position of the company and that it always respected women in wars and military women, but that they won't be letting you play as a woman. And it goes on to say this takes place in a fictional part of Russia, blah, blah, blah. So, Mac, I think you get the gist of this story. This is a two-year-old game that has now become relevant again. And so now we're actually being brought back to comments that this gentleman made about women in war 2 years ago. Now, just so we really are all on the same page, I hope you're okay with me finding those comments right now, pulling them up right now, and just reading them for context purposes, because I think it's important that we know exactly what he said. So this original interview is from WCCFtech.com. And the person asked, they say, did you consider having female characters playable? His answer is, we considered that, but we came to the conclusion that women are not allowed to be in the war. The person says, but these days, women are in the military. And he says, I can agree with you, and we discussed it for a very long time, but we came to the conclusion that women can't handle that amount of stress. There's only place for hardened men in this place. So, Mac, we're not going to discuss whether or not those comments are disgusting, because I think we both agree that they are. But my thing is the outrage that we're seeing right now warranted? Because this is a game that came out 2 years ago, and the only reason these comments are being brought up again is because the game started popping off on Twitch. What are your thoughts?
Well, in general, I would say that you are welcome and entitled, if you will, to your outrage whenever you find out about something. So when the time comes that you, dear reader, dear listener, finds out about insert global atrocity name here, you are more than welcome to your outrage, to be frustrated, to be angry about it, to tweet about it, to even try and take some of those people to task. I feel like, you know, I feel like the distance we are in time from an event or something being said actually happening shouldn't make much of a difference with regard to how you feel about it, and even to some extent how you react about it. However, I will say that I do have just the slightest little bit of leniency for people who say something stupid when they're, like, children. And, you know, or not quite children anymore. So it's like, 10 years ago, I was 23. I was a full grown adult. So, you know, hold me to whatever I said 10 years ago. Even if we find out about it today, embarrassing, yes. But, you know, that's still on me. You find something from when I was 17, though, and or if I find something from when Mr. Nice Guy's 17 and it's pretty embarrassing, I'm giving Nice Guy just total pass on that because he was 17. And we were all 17-year-old idiots at some point in time.
Okay, so here's my thing. There's so much to unwrap here because I don't think that there's really that much of a difference between 17 and 18, other than the fact that one is the legal age and one isn't. And I
agree. I feel like 21 or so is the age where I would put my, if you're below 21 and you're saying nonsense, well, you know, you were a basically not quite a kid, you know?
Okay. Fair enough. This is something that we see a lot. I mean, there was recently a comedian who was fired from Saturday Night Live, because he made some comments on a podcast a year prior to his hiring, right? So we're not talking about 10 years before. We're talking about 1 year before he said some things that were universally offensive. And so I guess the thing that I always wonder is, like, where do we draw the line? Like, at what point do we say someone did something bad a long time ago, but we're going to forgive them? You know, maybe they've changed. Is it based on their age? Is it based on the type of person they've become? Is it based on the things they've done? Because if someone said something racist 10 years ago when they were, let's say, 30 years old, but since then they have started giving to charities and they've started promoting diversity and inclusion, you know, giving to minority charities, and they started to do good things, then do we then let it go, or do we still push for it? And so push for them to be canceled, quote unquote canceled, right? And with this situation, I feel like the only reason where these guys' comments are being brought up again is because the game suddenly became popular. And ultimately, the company is now being asked, you know, this guy made these comments 2 years ago. Are you going to go back and quote unquote fix it by adding female characters to the game? And I don't think that would fix it. Because they probably pretty much abandoned development on this game and improvements on this game when it didn't do well initially. Now it's back. They're not going to put those resources into adding women to the game. So they're in a lose-lose situation. I'm a fan of forgiveness, but I'm also a fan of being respectful. And I feel like this gentleman was disrespectful in his comments. And I think it's fine that it's being brought up. But I don't think that we should put it on his colleagues to go and change aspects of the game to make up for the dumb things that he said. That's where I stand on it. Let us know in the chat what you think. Mac, do you have anything else, though, about this? We have time if you want to...
Wholeheartedly agreed. That was... I love it. Yeah. Agreed 100%.
Awesome. Well, let's keep it moving. What else are the biggest news stories that I have pulled up here? Let's talk about Mac's favorite company. Now, Mac's looking at me like, which one is it going to be, Nice Guy? Is it going to be Nintendo or is it going to be EA? It's going to be Nintendo this time. So this one comes from IGN.com and it is written by Matt Kim. It says, new reports have once again revived rumors that a more powerful Nintendo Switch Pro model could be released in 2020. However, while a release year is still up in the air, reports have suggested the existence of a Pro model since last year. According to sources from a supply chain company, the Taiwanese website DigiTimes reports that a new Switch model will enter mass production Q1 2020 for a mid-2020 release. These reports coincide with analyst predictions that a Switch Pro model will be released later this year, fueling speculation that a new Switch model will be coming out sometime in the next months. Mac, you're a PC guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it almost makes it hard to ask this, but would you ever, I mean, you've bought consoles before, would you ever buy an upgraded version of a console that you own? Like, what would it take for you to make that purchase?
Probably substantial improvements.
So we talking battery life, we talking
all of what, the what above. Are we talking? just across the board, better, you know, better controls. I mean, you know, kind of like the type of jump that we saw from the, you know, from like the joystick between Nintendo 64 and GameCube. You know, real solid improvements in many areas before I would go from one console that I already had to another console of, you know, to another console like that. To put it in perspective, my PC, I built it quite some time ago, but I mean, like, I built with parts because I was, you know, trying to look forward. I'm like, I don't want to have to tinker with this for a while, so let's buy some stuff that's going to be good. Some good, solid, upper-level stuff.
Future-proofing it, basically, right?
I hate that term, but yeah.
Yeah, because you can't really future-proof anything, right?
Yeah.
But trying to make it, trying to add longevity to your build, basically, is what you were doing. Okay, so the thing with me and the Nintendo Switch is that it's already, it's the perfect handheld in its original form, right? The Joy-Cons were detachable, so, I mean, if there was ever an issue with them, you could just get new ones, right? I mean, it was literally the perfect combination of a home console and a handheld. And so when they released the Switch Lite late last year, I felt like that was completely unnecessary. It was a handheld only that couldn't be docked, and the controls didn't come off. And I think maybe it had a little better battery life, but a smaller screen or something like that. Now they're talking about releasing a third one. Now, the Nintendo Switch, I believe it came out 2017. So we haven't even had it for 3 years, and we're about to have potentially have three versions of the console, of the handheld. And to me, there's so much more that Nintendo could be doing with their money and with their research and development team than putting out additional versions that are derivative of the same thing. Let me be very clear. Nintendo's been killing it with the software, with the IPs and with putting out stuff that's playable and with the indies, making sure that the Switch has one of the best libraries of any console right now. But I just don't think that it makes sense to come out with a Switch Pro when so many of us are happy with what we have, and it's been less than 3 years since we purchased it. So, those are my thoughts on that. And you know what, Mac? Let's end on that note, man. We got other news stories, but they aren't as important. So, I want to hear what you have to say. Back over to you, buddy.
Well, I don't really have anything to add on to that.
I more meant we could move on to the next
episode 122. You all, we've got these transitions,
we're figuring it out. I should have made that more obvious. Let me back up. Let's do a rewind real quick. So anyway, the Nintendo Switch, I feel like we already have everything that we need, and it's been out less than 3 years. Why are they making ones that are derivative of each other? That's it for the gaming news, y'all. Mac, back over to you.
Well, now that Mr. Nice Guy has shown us the landscape of gaming as it is now, let's take a look into the past. So, as I'm sure you can imagine, for gaming history, things are a little bit lean because nobody really wants to release video games after the holiday season.
That's right,
so,
it's January. You
know, January is usually a little bit lean, but let's go back in time for a minute. Let's go back to 1984, back when game companies, such as Nintendo and the like, actually showed up at things like CES in the winter. So, it's 1984. The Nintendo folk show up at winter CES because there was both a winter and a summer CES back in those days. They show up at CES, and they have with them an ambitious product. They call it the Nintendo Advanced Video System. It looks a little different, but it's kind of a big gambit because in 83, you know, we really had that video game crash and everything. So Nintendo of America, which was, you know, almost a brand new company, had done a lot of work to try and take the Famicom over in Japan and try and repackage, rebrand it in a way that they thought would, you know, would make some splashes here in the United States. Among other things, there were a whole bunch of peripherals, some interesting things. There was a zapper that actually kind of, it had a hinge on it, so it switched from basically being a gun to being a pointer. They build a lot of the advanced video systems abilities to teach people how to, you know, code, how to learn BASIC, a tape drive, a whole bunch of very, very interesting things in 1984. And the advanced video system did have a look somewhat similar to the AVS, which I am holding.
Dude, where did you get that?
Well, this is the Nintendo that I've been using for a while to play, that plays both Nintendo cartridges as well as Super Famicom, but outputs HDMI. It's also compatible with the Famicom disk system if, you know, I happened to have one, which I don't actually. But this one I got from a company named Retro USB, and so this HD Nintendo is kind of been what I've been using to play Nintendo games for the past, you know, couple of years. But they actually took their design for this AVS when they put it out from the unreleased advanced video system that Nintendo showed off in the 1984 Consumer Electronics Show. So if you wonder what this advanced video system looked like, it looked somewhat similar to what I'm holding in my hand right now.
That's pretty sweet.
Sorry for those of you who are unable to see right now, because you're listening to it later, but you can
That's
Google...
why you gotta be here for the live show.
Indeed. If you do Google AVS, then the Retro USB AVS is what you'll see, and they've actually got some, you know, they've got some information about the designs that you can kind of see, oh, that's cool, I see where that came from, and you can kind of get an idea for that. They did later on make some additional changes because in response to their presentation at CES, no one was really that interested in buying in. So they went over, they made some changes furthermore to the lineup. It was really things like Rob the Robot, the Robotic Operating Buddy, as his name stands for, that they were really able to kind of get toy stores to buy into this whole video game thing again after the crashes, the crash of 83. So, yeah, just a little bit of interesting, or at least I hope, interesting video game history for you. This week, back in 84, we got our first glimpse of, well, let's say an alternate past where Nintendo could have gotten its launch a little bit differently in the United States.
Nice. Well, now that Max talked about gaming history, we're going to hop back to the present time and talk about something that's relevant in gaming today in a segment called The Topic of the Week. We're going to give our opinions on something that's very important, and we want to get your feedback on it too. So you guys know that it's the Consumer Electronics Show right now. This story came from CES, and it blew my mind when I saw this piece of hardware that was announced. So this is from GameInformer.com by Andrew Reiner. It's about a new piece of equipment from Alienware. And if you guys have not seen this, you should Google it real quick so you can get some context for what I'm talking about. It says, at this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Alienware introduced something unexpected. Concept UFO, a handheld gaming PC that draws heavy inspiration from the Nintendo Switch. The unit even features detachable left and right pieces that can be connected to create a controller that just happens to look like a UFO. Alienware isn't revealing hardware specifics, discussing things like battery life, and won't even comment on whether this prototype will actually become a real product. What Alienware is showing is a unique vision for where PC gaming could go. Just picture being able to play some of your favorite PC games on a device like this. The prototype runs Windows 10, weighs roughly 2 pounds, and features an 8-inch 1200p display. Controllers connect through magnetic strips, and the screen is equipped with a back-mounted kickstand that can be extended when the controller is removed. So, Mac, you're a PC guy. Uh-huh. I got a couple questions for you about this.
Sure.
Number one, a lot of PC games can be played other places. If someone gave you one of these, right, and said, Mac, I want you to have this this PC product. It lets you play games portably. What games are you playing on it? I mean, what games from the PC do you want to take on the go?
Well, here's the problem, Mr. Nice Guy. I play relatively low impact games on the PC in the first place. Shovel Knight, you know, maybe Minecraft. The stuff that I play does not get very graphically nor memory intense, just because I'm a, you know, I'm more of a retro guy at heart. So I don't know as there would be anything that I would have in my library to play on something like this that would be challenging for it from a hardware perspective. And most of what I play, I don't know if I would enjoy playing it on the go in the first place, because I like having mouse and keyboard rather than using a controller.
There you go. And that's why it's so confusing to me. Because to me, the major benefit of PC gaming is the precision of being able to control things with a mouse and keyboard. And people who game on PC are typically pretty comfortable having that mouse and keyboard in their hand, right? So I guess I don't understand who this is for, especially since on the Switch, I mean, the Switch has Witcher 3. The Switch has Diablo 3. Like, they're starting to get more and more third-party titles that previously were only on the on the Xbox One and the PS4 from a console perspective. I'm really confused as to who this is for. Now, Mac, is this something that excites you in the least? Have you seen images of it?
Yeah, I've seen images of it. As a matter of fact, you tweeted one at me, but...
I forgot I did that.
but it doesn't excite me all that much, mostly because I've seen people attempt to do this with tablets for the past several years. As a matter of fact, that time that you and I went to E3 together, we had that red carpet event by a group of people who basically were trying to do this with tablets. One of the things that they were working on was trying to get the sort of screen mirroring thing going on so that you could, you know, cast basically your games to your Android tablet. And a lot of that stuff is already easily doable. I do remember the Nvidia Shield. The one I was specifically referring to happens to be the WikiPad. That one was a little bit short-lived, but, you know, I definitely, seeing these things, remember those various iterations that we've had up till now of trying to do PC games portably.
Yeah, so Uncle Ruckus in the chat brought up the... Nvidia Shield. Spenis, who's in the chat, also says, I think that the problem with the Alienware device is that the price point for a portable with the PC quality capability price point for everything including memory is way too high. So I think what he's trying to say there is something like this, a PC on the go, is going to be way too expensive.
That's certainly a legitimate concern. After all, a gaming PC is considerably less expensive than a gaming laptop. Even though they're both running similar operating systems, if you build them with similar, you know, specifications and you know, stuff, you're going to be spending a lot more money on the laptop because it's harder, it's more expensive for the smaller form factor.
And to me, this is one of the benefits of gaming on console is, you know, if we get a new console every 5 to 7 years, it automatically comes with upgraded hardware, and it's going to be good for 5 to 7 years. This thing that they're putting out, it's going to be good for a few years, and then new games that are coming out won't be able to be run on it. So you're going to be stuck with something that's supposed to have the benefits of a PC, but doesn't, because a PC can be upgraded, right? You can get a new graphics card, you can get a new motherboard, you can get more RAM. But with this handheld, I don't think that will be the case. Now, that said, is it a cool idea? Absolutely. And if anyone can pull it off, I think it's Alienware. I think the difference between other people that have tried to do similar things is that they are not Alienware. And maybe they weren't as established in the gaming PC space to know how to do something like this. Now, I found it interesting that they have controllers built in, because ideally with something like this, they would just have USB ports and Bluetooth that would allow the gamer to take the screen and use their own peripherals, right? They could use their own keyboard, they could use their own mouse, they could use their own controller. These people are making you use their hardware, which I found kind of strange, but that's just me. So, Mac, anything else you got on this? Or we good, man?
Not really. I mean, I similarly like you, I wonder who the target audience is here and what the price is going to be, you know, and if those things are going to meet up in an amicable way or if it's just going to fall by the wayside like a lot of the other attempts. I think especially the comparisons to the Nintendo Switch are very apt since it looks frightfully similar. And we know why the Nintendo Switch would succeed in that, whereas, you know, whereas this one might struggle a lot more to get off the ground, so.
Right, right. Yeah, it'll also be interesting to see how good the Wi-Fi is on it, right? I assume it'll be fine, but...
Oh, yeah,
probably. Just to wrap up real quick. So Kame says portable PC price would definitely be smart for a smaller audience. Ruckus says... latency could be an issue. Yeah, that's true. And then Spenis says, even with that, the smaller form is that the quality of the graphics generally has to be downscaled. It is cool and looks great, but this is entirely too niche of an idea, as console has done much more with sustainable approach. Yeah, fair enough. Well, on that note, Mac, that has been our topic of the week. Back over to you, buddy.
All right, well, you guys know what time it is. It's time for us to take a look at a crowdfunding project that's trying to get off the ground. Let's take a look at something. We'll discuss its virtues, its vices, and then at the end we're going to say whether or not we think it should be kickstarted or whether it should be kicked out of here. And we encourage you to play along with us at home. I am posting a link to the Kickstarter in the chat so that you can take a peek should you feel so inclined. Otherwise, let's talk about Shelter, but instead of an S, it's a Z. A pixel action survival game, and I am sure you can tell already that between zombies and pixel art, there is a lot for me to love. We're talking sort of a mostly top-down, little bit of isometric viewpoint to it, but it's mostly top-down view. Surviving the zombie apocalypse. Building things, crafting things, seeing how long you can stay alive. Lots of things that I think are pretty cool. When it first launched, you could back it at, it was like $9 to get a, you know, to get the game for its original release. Those were sort of early bird rewards that have gone since then. So currently your lowest buy-in price is $15. Launch is slated to be June of 2020, with the beta access starting up in March 2020. As it stands right now, they have successfully funded the 100% of the $20,000 that they were looking for, and they're cranking in on the stretch goals now. They're looking for the release is primarily going to be, let's see, it's going to be Steam, so PC. They are going to, if they can get $100,000, they're going to look into making a mobile platform supporting. It doesn't say which mobile platform. I assume iOS, because that's, you know, that's, I would be surprised if it was both iOS and Android. Probably going to be iOS only. And then at $200,000 total, they will go for a Nintendo Switch port. So, the story on such a game, of course, Mr. Nice Guy, the zombie apocalypse. Gotta save what little's left of the world behind your walls. Exploring, exploiting, expansion. They do make a point of talking about 24 hours and weather systems, cycles, things like that. Crafting. And, you know, and fighting zombies. They're even taking some pages out of some of our favorite zombie video games by having special infected who do cool things. I really like the graphics that they've come up with their version of the tank. But anyway, yeah, so that's what they're looking at. They've already succeeded in meeting their minimum funding goal. Mr. Nice Guy, what do you think?
It sounds good. Now, would you mind posting the link again? Twitch has been having an issue where some chat stuff doesn't go through. I was in someone else's stream the other day and they had that issue.
Sure.
So I didn't get to take a look.
I just barely posted it again. If anybody has any, you know, I'll do it a second.
No, you're good. I see it now. I assume maybe everyone else got it except for me. So you said this is only on Steam. Is that right?
Yes. At the moment, they're only planning on releasing this for Steam.
Okay. So just looking at this, it reminds me of a mobile game that I used to play that was pretty similar.
Oh, which game was that?
I wish I could remember the name, but it was basically like a zombie. So you've ever played those games where it's like an on-rails car type game? So you're like on a motorcycle and you're driving, you know, just left to right, but you're shooting zombies and going off ramps and things like that. And you get money as you do it. And then at the end of each quote-unquote level, you can upgrade your guns, you can buy power-ups, things like that. This reminds me of that game, and I wish I could remember the name of it. I think that this game doesn't have or will not have a lot of depth, but I like everything else about it. The graphic style is really endearing. I like that they have stretch goals, and I like that they're already funded. It shows that they probably put some work in, because, Mac, it doesn't look like there's a lot of experienced people making this game. Or rather, people that have made notable games working on this game. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, well, I wouldn't really know. The team is out of South Korea, so I'm afraid I am not too read in on, you know, on South Korean, you know, video game companies. And I don't believe I've seen much in the way of the team description. So yeah, I just couldn't speak to that.
Well, I mean, I like it. I'll say that. And I wish that it was on Nintendo Switch. Typically, I don't like any type of game where you're having to grow your food, right? That's just not fun to me, where you're having to harvest stuff. But the premise of doing it in a world where there's a zombie apocalypse happening makes it a little bit more appealing to me, simply because if that ever was to happen, well, that's what we'd have to do, right? It's kind of quote-unquote realistic. So I like it. I don't have too many complaints.
Okay. I've got two complaints about it. The first one is there is no playable demo. For something that is supposedly going to be available for beta access in March, which is only a couple months away, I would honestly expect that you could have a sample ready. But I know that's something that I harp on every time we do one of these. Show me that you can bring all the components together. And so that would make this a kick for me. However, there is something deeper that I find a little bit more, maybe troubling's not the word, but at least distasteful, or that puts a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah, that says it. So they happen to have some advertising and campaign management agencies that they're working with. Specifically, they credit a thing called KixGoGo and Funded Today. And these are both companies that, for example, Funded Today says the world's most successful crowdfunding marketing agency. And this is like down near the very bottom, right? It's almost at the very bottom of the crowdfunding thing. And the KixGoGo, and these are online advertisement and campaign management agencies. And in general, you know, it's not like I'm going to pretend that you shouldn't use or make use of things at your disposal, right? But I feel like the idea of Kickstarter and the idea of these things, you know, these crowdfunding things, are to give you the option of going for something if you can't or don't want to employ a marketing company. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I
feel like
saying.
Having a marketing company that works with crowdfunding is sort of not in the spirit of things. It's kind of the same way I feel about it when a celebrity has a podcast. I feel like, no. You're a celebrity. You have channels. You have got normal channels to get what you want to say out there. podcasting is for the rest of us. It's for us poor schlubs that don't already have a platform. Please take your celebrity and go go over there. You use your front channels. We will, us nobodies, we will use our back channels. Thank you very much. As much as I love you, LeVar Burton, you go stick to PBS. Let the rest of us podcast.
I don't know if I agree with that. No, side note, did you see Ricky Gervais's roast at the Golden Globes by chance? Yeah, he pretty much said similar to what you were saying.
Although I said it first, and I've said it for longer. I said it when LeVar Burton first did his thing.
Okay, fair enough. He basically said celebrities don't get up here and try to push your agenda politically because, you know, you're not woke. But anyway, Mac, I have one question about this Kickstarter before I cast my vote.
Sure.
I'm looking at the pledges, and it says for $15, or is it for $10?
Yeah, $15 to get the thing now. That $9 was the early bird stuff. They say that when it releases on Steam, it's going to be $20 for the game.
So there's something that says if you get 25% off a key if you pledge $15. What does that mean?
Well,
you don't actually get the game for $15, you get 25% off?
No. You get the stream key at a 25% discount.
Oh, I see.
So that's how it'll be $20 when it launches. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Then I'm ready to vote, but this is your segment, man. So did you want to cast your...
Absolutely, and those of you in the chat, let us know what you think. I say kick it. For starters, it doesn't have that, you know, it doesn't have that playable demo. And also the last nail in the coffin is, you know, you violated the spirit of crowdfunding by, you know, paying a company or getting a company to do your marketing. It's just like, this is supposed to be about you. It's supposed to come from your heart and be an extension of you, not come from a marketing company. But that's just my feeling.
I'm a believer in success no matter how you get there, as long as it's not illegal or hurting anyone.
The ends don't justify the means, Mr. Nice Guy.
Well, I feel like they do, man. Maybe they used some funds to get their name out there.
And that maybe that's why you're more popular than I am.
I don't know about that, Mac. We're equally popular. But I guess I'm going to say Kickstart. Because this is the type of game that could have a successful run on Steam. And then in 2 or 3 years, they could make enough profits to bring it to the Nintendo Switch where it would really, really flourish. I mean, we've seen that happen before. So I am going to say Kickstart.
All right. Well, you guys let us know what you think in the chat. And those of you who are listening to this show on your commute or whatever after the fact, go ahead. You just yell it out loud. We will tabulate the results from here. But that's what I had for today's Kick or Kickstart.
Awesome. Well, it's time for our next segment. It's a segment called Nerdflex.
Woo-hoo.
A segment where you try to trick the host with gaming trivia questions that you send in advance. And this week we have some questions from the man, the myth, the legend, Toad22484. He's a member of RGLTV, good friend of the show, Retro Gaming Live TV. And he sent us a lot, Mac, so I'm going to pick a couple of them. So, let's go with this one. What was the first game, and I don't know the answer, what was the first game to be played in space?
The first game to be played in space. Oh, Mr. Nice Guy.
Did we do this one last time?
We did this one. He sent us 6 questions.
Yeah.
We did what was the first game played in space. We didn't do what was the first game. We did the first game console, and it was the Game Boy. Knowing that the first game, that the first console was a Game Boy, I imagine that would probably make the first game Tetris.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind, too. And especially when you consider... I don't know what year this went up to space, the Game Boy went up there, but Tetris was one of the earlier Game Boy games, right, that was released.
I want to say
it was. It was in the 80s, right? It was released in the 80s for the Game Boy.
But you are right. Depending upon what year it went up, the Game Boy had an awful long runtime. So, I mean, we could be talking Pokemon. We could be talking, you know, there are a lot of different games that it could be. But there's even a great Ninja Gaiden game on the Game Boy. So,
So many games.
But I think Tetris, if we're erring toward the side of early play in its thing. I think Moocher's right, though, that Super Mario Land was the first, was like one of the earliest titles for the Game Boy.
I loved Mario Land, man. Mario Land is one of the Mario games that just never got the recognition that it deserved. It was kind of different, but anyway, I liked it. Back to the question. I'm going to stick with Tetris because I think that that is probably the answer. Mac, do you want to change or do you want to go with Tetris?
Know, I will change. I'll change over to Super Mario Land just to help us cover our bases, but I do think it's Tetris.
I do too. So we're both going with Tetris, basically. So let's see what the answer is. Let us know in the chat what you think.
We've got votes for Asteroids, Super Mario Land, Pokemon Blue as well.
Dude, Asteroids would kind of make sense.
It would be on theme, but I don't recollect a release for Asteroids on the Game Boy.
Yeah, I don't either. So the answer is Tetris, Mac. We got it. He could not stump us. He could not stump us with that one.
Well, let's give him another shot.
Let's do one more. Okay, this is a good one, and I have no idea. Okay, so here's another question from him. He says, what was the first game ever to introduce regenerating health?
Oh, wow.
That's tough, but I feel like we can just think about it and figure it out.
Well, I think so. I mean, let's see. So, I mean, Halo Combat Evolved, of course, obviously had, you know, regenerating health.
Sure, and shields.
Well, I guess
I feel like it would be earlier.
The shields. It'd be earlier.
I'm trying to think if there's any games on the NES that allowed you to regenerate health. And just so we're clear for the chat and for people listening, regenerating just means that, like, as you're walking, your health comes back. It doesn't mean that you could eat an apple and get more health. It just means it was regenerating.
Yeah, it would just regenerate over time. Yeah, I feel like it's a very modern idea, like the regenerating health. Like everything I feel like nowadays kind of does that. But I'm sure that it's one of those things where, you know, it's going to be something from the late 80s or early 90s. And I have no... I can't even think of a game right now where regenerating health was a thing.
So Call of Duty has been around a long, long time. Like, there were some games on the PC before the console ones really started popping off. And just knowing what I know about those games, when you would get shot and you didn't die, if you ran around a corner and hid, your health would regenerate. Like, the screen would start to turn red, right? But then it would go away if you didn't get hit for long enough. Yeah. So it could be one of the old Call of Duties. Now, was that the case with games like Doom?
No, those ones had defined, they did not regenerate. Doom, Wolfenstein 3D, those early first-person shooters, no.
I'm sure this is not the answer, but I'm going to go with the original Call of Duty as my guess.
Okay.
I don't remember what year it came out, though. That's the problem.
We've got some guesses. Elder Scrolls Arena, Marathon, Witch Haven, Medal of Honor. I honestly can't even think of one game with health regenerating before Halo. I know that there have to be, but that's it. I mean, I'm just saying Halo Combat Evolved just because I can't think of anything.
Okay, so I say Call of Duty, Max says Halo. Let's see what... and the answer is Hydalide. I've never even heard of that
Hydalide.
Game.
Hydalide, that is a Nintendo... That's an NES game. It's one that Toad actually speedruns. So definitely, I mean, that figures. I should have thought about it from the Toad side of things. Oh, gosh, it does have regenerating health. Okay, yep.
That's okay. Well, we've done four of his questions. We'll save a couple for next week so we don't spend all our show doing these questions, even though they're great. Thank you, Toad, for sending them in. And if anyone else wants to send questions in, hit us up at twonerdsinapodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at twonerdsinapod.com. So that's it for NerdFlex. Back over to you, Mac.
All right. Well, let's take a look at some legal-ish type of stuff that's going on right now in a segment we call Legalese.
Legalese.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast. So let's talk about a little bit of a blast from a past. We've talked about this specifically, Star Citizen, right? So if you don't remember, because it's been a little while, but Star Citizen is an, as of yet, unreleased video game. And I mean, it's like in Alpha 3.something or whatever, that's what's going to be released. But as we discussed back in 2017, so it's going back a ways, Crytek, the makers of the Cry engine, filed a suit against the makers of Star Citizen. And among the reasons why they filed suit was they said, hey, you guys, you're building a game, Star Citizen, but you're also building another game, you know, the single-player version of the game, known as Squadron 42, but you've only paid for one license, not two licenses, for the engine, you know, for the game engine. Now, when we were talking about this last, the suit had been filed, and since then, the whole thing's been in what's called discovery, which, contrary to what you would be led to believe by, you know, popular television and movies, there aren't really surprises in the courtroom. There aren't. There aren't surprise witnesses.
I've got a surprise witness.
Exactly. Surprise witnesses and surprise evidence is not really a thing. There is most of what goes on during this extraordinarily long process is, you know, of discovery is making sure you kind of drill down so that when you come into the court, everybody is on the same page. Everybody knows what arguments are going to be made. Your testimony, you know, long before you ever get into that courtroom, your testimony is recorded. Anyway, things like that. But the point about it is that, and why this is news, is because just recently, a few days back, the Star Citizen devs requested to move the court date from, I believe they were going to set it for June, they were going to move that to October 2020, right? And as part of their reasoning for the request, they essentially said they aren't planning on releasing the game before October. So if the CryEngine folks want to have a suit over, you know, using, releasing multiple games, then they actually have to wait until the game's released before they can, you know, before they can make that that problem. I don't know if that's exactly going to fly, but it's an interesting argument. You have to wait for us to release the bad thing that we're doing before you can come after us for it. It's a little bit more nuanced than that, but that's kind of the way it comes across on paper. We'll have to wait till either June or October to see what actually happens. I'm kind of surprised that they took that route. I hope they are also exploring the argument that, yes, we're developing both the multiplayer and the, you know, single-player version, but they're the same game. They're not separate games. They're just two different modes. That I would have thought that would have been the first argument, and who knows? Maybe they're going to make that. We have very limited information on the case, but I'm sure that we will revisit it again in the near future. So there's a little bit of legalese for you.
Mac, now, we should talk after the stream, but I think that this segment is like the most popular one in the pod.
I would be very surprised.
So I think we should get you more play. You know what I mean? I think maybe a little bit more time talking about legal stuff. Everyone gets like a little bit aroused when you say legalese, I feel like.
No.
I'm just saying, look at the responses in the chat. They get excited. Aroused was not the word.
But they get excited. It's all because of the combined legalese, and it's also people are excited about the trivia, right? I think it's because we sing to introduce it, so maybe
it could be.
Maybe we should investigate additional singing.
Voice lessons, possibly? We'll talk about it in the post show.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in post.
Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for tuning in to Two Nerds in a Pod, episode number 122. Before we go, we have one last segment we like to do called What We've Been Watching and What We've Been Playing, where we talk about just that, the cool nerdy stuff that we've been into on YouTube, on Netflix, on Hulu, the stuff we've been playing on our consoles, on our PCs, and on our mobile devices. And you have a job to do if you're live with us. Let us know in the chat what stuff you've been watching, what stuff you've been playing, because we're always looking for cool, nerdy stuff to get into. And Uncle Ruckus, if you don't mind, you can combine it all for us like you asked if you could do, and then we'll just read it all at the bottom once it's done. So, Mac, would you like to read off, or not read off, but start us off with the stuff you've been doing?
Sure, Mr. Nice Guy. I've been watching, oh gosh, what have I been watching? More Deep Space Nine. I started watching the Netflix Living With Yourself, and that's pretty good. Paul Rudd, he's pretty enjoyable. As for playing, I've been playing some Shovel Knight and playing a little bit of Chasm, but that's kind of it. I haven't had much time for games and movies, although there is one thing that I found out. Mrs. The Mac and I, we really enjoyed the television show Lucifer. And as it turns out, Lucifer makes a cameo in the big old DC Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover thing. He has a
interesting.
He has a conversation with Constantine, and that kind of plays out in the big old crossover event. So now I'm thinking, oh gosh, now I need to do Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl so that
yes,
I can.
Yes, you do.
So
yes,
that I can.
You do.
So that I can watch the crossover event and then fully appreciate all this. So
yeah,
but that's me. How about you?
Nice. Well, in that vein, I've been watching The Flash, the most recent season on Netflix, trying to get all caught up. And this season's really good. No spoilers, because I know you're not there. Now, Mac, have you seen any of Flash, Arrow, or any of that stuff?
I've seen basically the first season of Flash, the first two seasons of Arrow, and I want to say the first season and a half of Supergirl.
Nice. Now, that's where I'm at. I couldn't really get into Supergirl, and I hated it. Hated DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't get into it. So I'm looking forward to that crossover event, but I have two seasons of Arrow and a half a season of Flash before I can really watch it. So what else have I been watching? Boy Meets World. I know some of y'all think it's corny, but it's a throwback. It's a throwback to those Friday nights when they would have it on TGIF when I was a kid. So the wife and I have been watching that. And then as far as what I've been playing, I too have been playing some Shovel Knight. Now, Mac, have you been playing King of Cards? Or what have you been playing on Shovel Knight?
On Shovel Knight, I beat all of the things. I had originally only beaten Shovel Knight, but now I've done Plague Knight, Spectre Knight, and King Knight.
That's what I'm talking about. King of Cards. Yep.
Yeah, King of Cards. Sorry. I thought that Plague Knight was the most difficult for me to beat.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the mechanic that he had, but I remember it being frustrating. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, I've also really been playing a lot of Apex Legends and beasting on kids, so I've been having fun with that. And I think that's pretty much it. So, yeah, Ruckus, when you're ready, go ahead and put that stuff at the bottom. Now, Mac, one show that I need to get back into while he's posting that is The Good Place. Because you showed me the light, you showed me how good it is, and I just need to get back into it. Also, I've been watching some Dungeons & Dragons streams on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them can really compare to doing it in person. So while we're waiting for him to post everything, do we want to quickly tell the people what's going down this Saturday? Do you want to let them know?
Sure. So join us this Saturday, Lord Willin' and the Crick Don't Rise, for Dungeons & Dragons, myself, Mr. Nice Guy, Rolf, and Pazzy, from, you guys know them and love them from the chat, to join us. It'll be 8 a.m. this Saturday, 8 a.m. Central Time, which means afternoon time for our friends over there in Europe. So, yeah, hopefully everyone can make it.
Nice. Now, Mac, do you want to start reading the what they've been watching and what they've
Absolutely.
Been playing?
Absolutely. Spenis is watching Jeopardy, and AGDQ, which of course is going on right now, and is playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order primarily. Moocher is playing Duke Nukem World Tour and Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Good ones. And a fan hacked GBA cartridge called Pokemon Snakewood. That sounds interesting. Kane has been playing Risk of Rain 2 and Age of Wonders Planetfall. And Ruckus has been watching the Boondocks and playing Star Wars Fallen Order. So.
Mac, have you watched the Boondocks, dude?
I have not.
Oh man, I think you might like it. It's have you heard of it?
Well, with, you know, praise like that, I simply must get on it right now.
So
stop the presses. Mac might like it.
It's a cartoon. Yeah, Mac might like it. You're on the fence now. It's basically a comic book turned TV show. Huey Freeman and his brother, whose name I can't remember right now, two African-American kids, going around. It has political undertones. It's a solid show. It's pretty funny. Based on what I know of you, I think you'd like it. So we'll leave it at that. Mac, I say we wrap up and end this thing. What do you think? You want to take us away today?
Sure. Thanks, everyone, for coming and watching episode 122 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest gaming podcast in the galaxy. Thanks for being awesome. Thanks for being here. We will pick this up next week with hopefully more of everything you've come to love here at twitch.tv/2nerdsinapod. Keep it nerdy, y'all. See ya.
Bye.